Ancom don't get many draws. Do you feel that was a deserved draw, or do you feel like you deserved the win?
I thought we deserved the win, I'll be honest. Thought they were a really good team. I think the first 15 minutes of both halves, they were the better team. And I think for the 25 minutes in each half after that, we were the better team. And it was just pleasing to see we had that bit more togetherness again, what we'd had for all last year, and that desire of not getting beat, desperation on our try line. And just energy when you're under pump, can't get out of yardage, but you still keep going, keep going. Mike Buck typified that today, I thought, with his carries. So all week we focused on us, not Oldham. And that's not like us, we normally do our homework, but we just said homework needs to be done on us, we need to get it right. And I thought it was, you know, it weren't perfect. It weren't what we want to be, but it was certainly in the right direction of how much desire we needed and desperation.
I mean, the first set of the game where they had you pinned in the 10 metres, I think, and you're kicking from the 10 metres after the two previous games, you were probably thinking, oh, is it going to be another afternoon like that?
Well, our message was start fast, get good metres. you'll get that. You know, you've got a lot of players here for Oldham who's played Super League, been full-time for most of the careers. So they've got high energy. Everything's on the front foot defensively. And we knew that. Our focus was trying to get our back line to carry as much as they could. So our energy then when we did kick was defending from the front foot with our middles. But we didn't do it in the first 5 minutes. I think we struggled. But then when our back started coming in, we started getting a bit more joy and we played a little bit wider. Pleased. A bit nervous for 10 minutes because I thought, well, you know, it's probably going back to where we were. But we just focused on having that desire and that energy.
See you, Josh.
I thought we did. I really did. I thought we did.
I mean, I don't think you had played a ball in Oldham's half until the 18th minute off after Fozzie's 40-20. But after then, you seemed to build a lot of pressure. But as much as you had the pressure, you still couldn't get the points.
No. And, you know, we've not scored a lot of points if you look in the league. And it's worrying when you concede, because that's when not scoring points will catch you up. But we spoke in the first couple of games and we said, well, we're not conceding much, so we don't have to score a lot. But then we've flipped the coin. So because our defence has been off for the last few weeks, you identify not scoring points. So our good ball, we've had high completion, but really not really questioning anything or just being quite lackadaisical and easy to read. And I thought we was again today. So at half-time, we spoke about coming back on the grain, changing direction. If you notice with Rodri Lloyd off Joey, we did that a couple of times. He went straight through and we was trying to do it, and Gilly was doing it with Langers and he was getting some joy. So good thing for us is we can flip it and we can alternate it. And I thought when we did change the direction, we got some really good joy on them.
Because I suppose in the context of that, when they scored the try at the start of the second half and all of a sudden you're 10-0 down, and you think, well, we couldn't get back from 4-0 down in the first half. A bit of a confidence thing as well, not scoring the points as well, isn't it? It sort of puts doubt in your mind that you can get the points.
Well, we spoke at half time, and our focus this week has been about us. So we've not, like I said, done anything on them. It was all about what we good at. So we showed clips from Toulouse, Sheffield, Doncaster, how we defended, how our desperation against Sheffield was, because I think they had a lot of possession against us, and at Toulouse, and then how we exploited them and got the points on the board. So we focused all our energy on that. And then at half-time, it was 4-0 down. We just said, we all got close together. And I just said, rugby league's a mental thing. So no, what happens in this game now, if we do go behind, we've got to be mentally stronger than them. So that mentality kicks in. So no matter what happens, keep focusing on us. And I thought we did that really well because, like you said, we went 10-0 down. But then you could see they never went panicked like they've done in the last two games. It was just like, stay what we're doing. Stick focus. Keep completing. And it worked for us. So, yeah, I'm really, really pleased with him.
There's a couple of big plays when you're on the back foot. Joe Edge had a carry, I think, where he had three forwards on him. He did 25, 30 metres off that. And then the one where Ollie Leyland scooped it up on your own line, runs 50 metres down the left. Two big plays that maybe swung it back in your favour when you were chasing the game.
Well, the Ollie Leyland one, where he gets it and goes, we score on the back of that set.
Yeah.
But that's what we need. We need, you know, we're busted. I thought Flem were good last week, you know, and we'd lose him. So then we're looking, what do we do? It's no thing. Yeah, I see Jack Owens as a centre in this team now. So Ollie's got a little bit of pace. He's got that bit of thingy where he can jump. He can kick ball through line. And we brought him in this week. I thought he was good. I thought he defended so well. I thought his high kick, how he took the ball, were good. How he swept up behind the line were really good. And don't forget, I'll expect there wasn't a lot of shape from him. He's only trained once with us. But I just feel as though, you know, the way forward is, until we get bodies in, is people like that. And I just thought Edgy was very similar as well. You know, Edgy's one I'd like play fullback now and again, but it's just, we've just not got the bodies to do that at the minute.
Were you always going to play Ollie Leland at fullback, or did you contemplate playing him in the halves or doing something different?
No, I think Joey's been really patient, Joey Lyons, and Deck's got an injury now, which potentially could be a good few weeks. So, you know, he's been waiting in the wings, he's been knocking on my door, and rightly so. And I thought his performance today was superb. Defensively was brilliant. You know, he had in hand in both tries. So, yeah, you've got to congratulate somebody who's not been playing and just playing at nine and coming on for 10 minutes and being really patient and not moaning and training hard. And when you get your opportunity, put a performance in like that. So, you know, he deserved the accolades today because I thought he was outstanding, Joe Lyons.
I know he's done a bit off nine, but how much of a difference did it make having a specialist hooker in Ben Hartle coming on, apart from that little faux pas at the end of the first half where he ran it in on the last? But other than that, you seem to have the confidence to leave him out there a bit longer because of how he was playing as well, which obviously then freshened his mouth, wasn't
it? I think he's got a really big feature in game. How he plays, he come on, first 10 minutes, we're whacking everybody. I think Tom Gilmore just said to me then, wow, he's a right nine, him, and he will be a right nine. And I think he gives us a little bit more balance. Foss come off, and then when Foss come on, you could see that energy again. You know, he's a great player. Hopefully we can keep him. Swinton led us. I thought he was Warrington's player, by the way, but yeah, if Swinton led us. I thought he was really good today. I thought all the lads from the Luke Thomas, wow, unbelievable. Car crash material, just 100 mile an hour.
Is he broke it? Was it broken?
He's dislocated his elbow.
Exactly.
So fingers crossed they can get it back in at hospital. I thought he changed the game for us. I thought he just got us on the front foot. We started rolling Oldham then, and you look at their middles, you know, they've all played high-level rugby, and he was the instigator of us rolling them.
Probably on a dry day, he probably goes under the post as well, doesn't he, off that pass?
Yeah, we'll probably give him a bit for that, but no, I thought he was all outstanding. And young Nolander, who's come in 18th man for us, because we thought we'd lost Jack in the week as well. So Nolan's trained with us, and he was very patient. Jack, you know, gave us the all-clear on Thursday evening. Well, they're the kind of players we need to utilise from Warrington, the people who want to make something of the game and, you know, who are desperate for to do well in the sport.
How bad are some of you mentioned Depp Patton there? What about some of the others? A Fleming, Max Roberts? How long are you expecting
Flem's, to be? We've been a bit... taking some precautions with Flem. Just, we could have probably threw him out there today, but it potentially could have gone. His hamstring could have snapped or tore, and we can't afford to do it. We've not got the squad to do it. Depp Patton... he's in a boot, so we're not sure on that. That could potentially syndesmosis, who knows? Our physio will probably know more on that. Scan him next week. JJ's 2 weeks off. Max Roberts, potential MCL. Right. So it's not great at the minute, but like I said, we are looking. There's a couple of players we're speaking to. But we need to bring somebody in who's with us for this year and next, so we can build something, we can start getting some momentum going then as a group.
Where are Ryan Lannan and Reece Williams up to as well?
Reece Williams is, before he signed, he'd had a honeymoon booked, so he was unavailable, which I agreed with on that. And Ryan Lannan's not well at the minute. He's struggling with an illness, so potentially a week or two, who knows on that, but he's not well enough to play. So when you can get players coming in like we have. We had Brett Bailey and Gav Bennion missing out this week. We just wanted to change things up with that and just a bit more high energy around that middle area, and I thought it worked today, to be honest.
So you take the positives of the point today. You go into York next week, which, of course, you had a bad day out a few weeks ago. Is talking about that going to be part of your preparations for this week almost, and maybe putting it right in some ways?
We've just said there, you know, we've just said have a fantastic Easter. We just all had a big chat together, and I thank them for their efforts. I said, but we've got to bring that with more next week, because in my eyes, they're the best team in the comp. I won't go away from that fact. I've said it to everyone. Somebody said, when we lost, you've lost in 1895. I said, I think we've lost at Winners. I really do. They're a very good team, very well coached, with some excellent players. So we've got to grow from that and build from that and believe in ourselves, because last year, you'll know yourself, James, a lot of time we won games just by believing in each other. And so from that performance now, we've got to kick on.
Welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat, episode 11 of 2025. That was Alan Coleman speaking after Widnes's Good Friday draw against Oldham. As ever, it's myself, James Gordon, joined by Mike Parsons. And a little bit of reverse psychology in last week's episode might half worked. So, you know, we could maybe win a tenner on the lottery this week if we tried.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll be honest, James, I didn't expect it. I thought first 10 minutes, I thought we was in for, you know, the same thing. I thought Oldham was very dominant and, you know, the early warning signs was definitely there, especially I thought the shift play for the first try where Mowagoro went in the corner, I thought they attracted defenders on our left-hand defensive side in too easily. I think Danny Langtry got sucked in too easy for my liking, and then it left the centre and winger exposed, and, you know, he's a good finisher, isn't he? But from that point, we got a foothold in the game and we grew in confidence, didn't we? I thought, naming a couple of players who stood out for me, I thought Nick Gregson had his best game in a Winter shirt, in my opinion. I thought when we started getting traction into the game, we was using him. He was taking the ball right into the defensive line and he was tipping forwards on off him. And we was making more yards that way. And it also freed up the halfbacks as well. I thought Joey Lyons, in fairness, you know, was brilliant. Yes, we did lack a bit of a long kicking game, apart from when Fozard, you know, kicked the 40-20. I thought we struggled kicking the ball from deep. But Joey's not that type of player. What he does is he attacks the line, obviously, incredibly well. And, you know, he got two try assists and fair play to him because he's had to wait patient. But I thought the three dual reg players as well, when you consider they've only had really one training session, we was led to believe it was linked to Wally Leyland, he's only had one training session. So you assume the other two was the same. And I thought they all brought something. I thought Ben Artill is exactly what we want when Jordan Johnson isn't available. I thought Luke Thomas, in my mind, if that's what he can offer, I know he, you know, he's gone to hospital with an injury regarding his elbow, but if he can come back to fitness, there's no reason why he should be spending any more time at any other championship clubs, because he has bags of aggression, he's dynamic, and that's probably the type of prop we're missing coming off the bench, you know. And then, obviously, Ollie Leyland, I thought, in the first half, very tough on him. He was doing everything right defensively, taking the ball. Obviously, you know, defensively as well, to a point. First half, it was very similar to what we've seen with Kai Taylor-Ray at Doncaster, where, because as a fullback, in the modern day, the timing of your runs chiming into the line is everything, and trying to do that off one or two training sessions, it's difficult, and we was clunky in that area in the first half, but he grew into the game, and for me now, someone like that, or Kai Taylor-Ray, of course he's injured, but now moving on to Wally Leyland, he's only going to improve, isn't he, if he stays with us, he trains with us a bit more, plays with us a bit more, and you'll get a bit more... You'll be a bit more, what's the word? You'll be a bit more convincing near the line and, you know, taking your chances a bit more. There's a lot of people getting on Tom Gilmore's back when he was trying to chime in the line. And it was just because the combination just wasn't quite there. But like I say, he grew into the game. And I think come the end of it, there's a heck of a player there. And Warrington don't seem to want him. So I suppose that's the advantage of a dual registration partnership, is players like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you sort of mentioned the Gilmore. I've seen some stuff that I've seen some criticism of him, and I just don't get it. I don't see Gilmore being the problem whatsoever. I think he is what he is. He can lead the team around. He moves the ball on. His goal kicking's, you know, up there with one of the best. I think it always feels like it's the halfbacks that get a little bit of grief. I actually think, you know, Lions, I think I said last week, one of the problems Widnes have had is that the back rowers haven't had the strike power. Well, obviously, Joe Lyons found Rodri Lloyd twice last week. But I actually think the second one was because they went a bit wider. So Rodri Lloyd was almost in the centres when he got that pass. And that helped. I think there was that spell in the first half where Widnes had a lot of pressure on the line and you were thinking, geez, how many sets of six are they going to need on the line to score? And it was a bit, it felt a bit similar to the Barrow game in that respect. But I think there's just a little bit of disjoint. It's a bit disjointed, isn't it? And partly because, you know, you're having to change players around. You know, Joe Edge has only played a handful of games. You're having a different fullback pretty much every game at the moment.
Then we've had five fullbacks this year.
Yeah. And I think that's a problem. It sounds like Alan Coleman's thinks Jack Owens is going to be playing centre pretty much most of the time now. I think I've said before, I personally wouldn't have minded seeing Jack Owens playing standoff, to be honest. Obviously, if he did not sign Patton, don't get me wrong, like, you know, and it was interesting to hear what Alan Coleman said about Joe Lyons, like knocking on his door, fair play to him. And, you know, when you come in the team and you have an impact, then it's your shirt to lose. But I think if Widnes hadn't signed Deck Patton, I would have had no problem if Owens was the standoff, because I just think, and I know Owens gets criticism sometimes, but he's a good rugby player. He's just a very good rugby player, and there's not many better rugby players that Widnes have or even around. And I think, yeah, you know, he's not got the pace of a Kai Taylor-Ray, but what he has got is he's got the brain and the playmaking ability. Going into some of the things you talked about, I thought Luke Thomas was very good. I think I said this last week. I'm very surprised that we haven't seen Luke Thomas play for Widnes before, because when John Kerr was the coach, Thomas seemed the most obvious dual reg signing. Widnes were desperate for forwards in that time. Luke Thomas plays for John Kerr for Wales. I know he had some bad injuries as well at awkward times, but he did play for other teams when he could have played for Widnes. He was very good. I don't know how bad his injury is, but I seen him at Lee on Saturday. All the Warrington squad players were there, and he had it in a sling, and it was all casted.
Right.
So, like, when he came off, my first thought was it was a dislocated elbow, but then partly the way they held, I wondered whether he'd broke maybe his forearm. Now, you know, I haven't heard anything. I mean, this is how daft it is. I spoke to people at Warrington at the game who didn't know that he'd got injured. That's, I mean, well, that they would have known that he'd got injured because, you know, right, it was obvious when he walked up the stairs, but nobody knew what actually was. I thought Hartill was solid. He's got a good pass off the floor. It's a funny situation with the Swinton thing. But again, that's again probably a prime example of how silly the whole system is because Widnes played Warrington in a friendly. Coleman actually mentioned Hartill after the game as someone who he quite liked. Now, After that game, I didn't necessarily think, I thought Doolan, you know, I didn't see Hartill in that game and think, oh, actually, you know, you'd have him on. But Alan Coleman effectively identified him and then Warrington loaned him out to Swinton for the season. And you're just like, well, what's the point in being dual regged if players that you've sort of got your eye on are just getting farmed out anyway? But yeah, I thought he was good. Leyland, now, a bit of gossip about Leyland. Is it Sam Burgess wasn't too impressed, or reading between the lines, he wasn't too impressed with Alan Coleman and the way he used Ollie Leyland, basically because Widnes played him at fullback. So I don't know if people listening might have seen, I was in the press conference with Sam Burgess after the Lee game. He was a bit tetchy. It wasn't me. I wasn't involved. There was a little bit of a standoff with a few of the journalists in the room where Warrington had got beat by Lee. They were very much second best, even though it was 18-14. Lee put the cue on the rack when it was 18-2. And, you know, it sounded a lot closer than it actually was. But after the game, people were asking Sam Burgess about, he played Danny Walker at standoff. People were asking him, well, what's your plan? Is Danny Walker going to play there? And he got very sort of tetchy and very, I thought, a bit, un- you know, and it's coaches' prerogative to be how they want, but I think sometimes they weren't questions that were particularly offensive. And he got, but anyway, he followed that up in his press conference, his midweek press conference this week, by someone specifically asked him, well, are you going to play Oliver Leyland? Or, you know, Ollie Leyland played at Widnes. How do you think he got on? Has he got a chance? And he basically sort of said, well, it's hard to know because they didn't play him where we wanted him to play. Now, my immediate response to that is, you know, at the end of the day, Warrington, they can't dictate where Widnes play players. And this is where the whole dual reg and the current state of the game. If a coach, it's borderline arrogance, in my opinion, or it's borderline, you know, if for Warrington to say, right, Widnes have got to play player X where we say, it's got nothing to do with them. Yeah, it's their player that they're loaning. Well, but as far as anything else, I just think you're just blurring the boundary of what everything's about if you're going to start calling that out. So it'd be interesting to see if Widnes, well, A, whether they do get Leyland back this week, and B, whether he plays at halfback.
Well, for me, James, first and foremost, I think, you know, he's not in Warrington's squad that I've seen, so you'd assume he'd be with us. But secondly, I think that's just a big timer who's under a bit of pressure at Warrington. And I think the bottom line is if you care about the lad that much and you want him to play halfback, you know, it's a little bit of an insult to Ollie Leyland, the fact that you've gone with Danny Walker at standoff, who in his professional career, as far as I've seen, has never played that position before. You get an injury at hooker and you end up with Ben Curry there, and then you're lining up again tonight and there's no Ollie Leyland again. So as far as I'm concerned, a little bit, you know, Sam Burgess needs to focus on what he's doing at Warrington. Well, as for Widnes and the dual registration partnership, this again is maybe that's something leaked a little bit of pressure between the two clubs and where things go wrong a little bit, or in fact, in any dual reg partnership where if a player is being offered to you, like you've just said and touched upon briefly, that player needs to be used for the club he's on loan at the best they need him to be, whether that's at fullback or out of position or whatever, or not. It's as simple as that. And I like to say, it's just alarm bells again for me, because that ain't a good, it's not a good sound, that, to me, at all.
The thing with Leyland, right, is, I've said I don't know why Warrington signed him. All due respect to him, he's not a top half Super League halfback, right? But what you've got to bear in mind is that Warrington signed him before they had Mark Snead. So at the start of this season, Warrington went into the season and their halfbacks were Williams, Leon Hayes, who's basically out for the season, and Leyland, right? Now, clearly they've identified they need another halfback, so they've signed Snead. Now Williams has gone down injured, and they're still not playing him. Yeah. And you're like, well, why sign, you know, what is the purpose of having signed him to do that? And I just think, obviously you've got to have a closer look at players sometimes, and maybe they've just decided he isn't good enough, but then when you look at how Warrington had to move players around on the weekend, surely they'd be, whatever deficiencies that they think Leyland's got, it surely would have been better for them to have him in the team than what they ended up doing. I think I looked at Walker's stats one time in his career. There's only one time in his whole career before Saturday that he'd been named anywhere other than hooker or obviously on the bench. I actually think it could work with Walker at halfback, but they have to get him running, and they didn't do that. They did it once, and he got tackled just short of the line, and lost the ball. I actually think Warrington could do well with him playing at half-back in the current situation. But then having said that, Powell can't do the full 80 really at hooker. And, you know, clearly then you'll miss Danny Walker at hooker. But, you know, not going too much off on a tangent. From Leyland's point of view, I do feel a bit sorry for him. Like I say, I'm by no means his biggest fan. But when you've got a lad who you've brought up from London, you've got him on a deal. Every other halfback they've got basically being injured, and he's still not playing him. You're just like,
well, that's it. And like, bottom line for me, mate, as simple as this: I don't care if it's Sam Burgess, Sonny Bill Williams, or Chris Thorman at Newcastle Thunder. When he's putting a team selection out like he did at the weekend and again tonight, and you're not playing Ollie Leyland, you know, there's no future for him, in my opinion. At Warrington whatsoever. And, you know, especially if you're all in England, you probably just want to go out, play rugby. You're a young lad, and relatively young, and you want to play and enjoy the game, and obviously earn a bit of money as well. And He probably knows the writing's on the wall as well. So to have cheap shops in a press conference at Alan Coleman, I'm sorry, that doesn't wash. If you're choosing that team selection when you've got an halfback on loan, wherever he's playing for Widnes, I am sorry, but you need to look at yourself. And if it's going wrong for you, you know, as a coach, you need to look at yourself. Not where your dual registration partner's coach is playing in. You know, it's as simple as that for me.
Yeah, he's on a 2-year deal, Leyland, as well. I think the other thing is they've got, I mentioned Leon Hayes before. You know, he's the next cab off the rank, really, and he's currently injured. You'd expect Sneed will probably only go another season. But yeah, that's a peculiar situation. It'd be interesting to see what happens at York this week. Based on Alan Coleman's comments, Matt Fleming could have played last week, so you'd expect maybe he might be an option at fullback. Thinking ahead to that York game then, it's only a few weeks since Widnes were last at York, and they're going to have to be considerably better than they were. The draw against Oldham probably softens it a little bit, but ultimately, if Widnes do lose against York, they're going to be in the bottom half of the table. Is it more a case of not saving face, because that's a little bit, that's not quite, I think that's a bit patronising to say save face, but they've got to compete much better than they did 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Simple as that. Of course we have. I think, look, there's no doubt, look, in my opinion, look, the table doesn't lie, and you know, ultimately, you know, York are where they are, and they got beat last week again, which, you know, in terms of what I think about York, it kind of go against what I'm saying, but I'll stick with it. And I think at the end of the season, they will be a semi-final team at least. I think the slow starters, I didn't see the result coming, you know, at Featherstone, especially with them racing into a 16-0 lead. But yeah, you can't be as, I'll use the word soft, as what we was at York, because ultimately there was a little dink over. We were going set for set, not too bad, and there was a little dink over and Jack Owens drops the ball. But then what happened then was that wasn't just a try. We leaked 16 points then. You can't do that. Even if somebody does make a mistake, you know, you've got to dig in, make up for it, you know, stiffen up a bit, get in a set for set battle and go again. For me, what I'd like to see against York, which I don't think we've seen for a number of weeks, including against Oldham, is us being proper firing from the off and ready for it, and trapping other teams deep in their own half and potentially scoring first, because we did against Warrington. And when we did score first, it gives us that bit of confidence to then put pressure on them, and they was uncomfortable. Whereas I think in the last couple of weeks, that's obviously happened the other way and it's took its toll.
Yeah, I mean, the Oldham game, Widnes didn't have a play of the ball in Oldham's half until the 18th minute. They were right on the back foot from the start. Maybe you could make the argument a better team than Oldham might have had Widnes out of the way by that time. I probably was a little underwhelmed by Oldham. That's not taking anything away from how Widnes played. I thought Drinkwater had a decent game, but I was a bit underwhelmed by them. There was a lot of build-up about the ex-Widnes players, and none of them really did anything to justify why Widnes should have kept them, to be perfectly honest. I actually thought the best former Widnes player, who I actually thought was pretty average when he played for Widnes, was Pat Moran.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Gil Dudson for me and stuff, but I thought Gil and Ted Chaplow had a fair decent game. But not like you say, you are right, mate. None of them. I never looked at any single one of them and thought, I want you back in my team. Mm. Put it that way.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, they only used Lawton for like 10 minutes, which I don't really get. I think if you've got him, you know, if you're going to play him, do you know what I mean? He's one of them where, and especially in a close game, like if Widnes had, Widnes probably would, if, and I'm not trying to create an Adam Lawton fan club, but the way Widnes were playing, if Widnes had Adam Lawton, at some point in that first half, they would have just started passing it to him 10 metres from the line and saying, come on, do your best, try and get over.
You put him on a lead line, wouldn't you, in the back row? And he'd go
and I was surprised that Oldham didn't really try to do that. I mean, going to the York game, I think, yeah, you're probably right about the start. I think if Widnes have proved, if they've got skin in the game, they can stay in it. Whereas against York, the last time they played there, it very quickly unravelled and they made a little bit of that bad call that they made just before half time was probably the sucker punch. If they'd have gone in at, I can't remember the score now, whether it was 12-6 or 10-6, whatever it was. If they'd have gone in then instead of 16-6, well, was it 16-6 and 20? I can't remember, but they conceded a try right at the end of the first half anyway. And if they hadn't have conceded that, it might have been a different game.
And also as well, James, and I suppose this is a bit of a frustration, really. And of course, it's probably the idea from the coaching staff and the players. But if you start on the front foot and you have got that dynamite and go forward and you score two early tries and convert them both, we don't really know what we can do to teams once we're 12-0 up.
We never
really get into that position. So it'd be interesting to find out how clinical we can be. You know, you could get to 12-0 and cut away, but we just never, ever managed to get into that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's this week, to be perfectly honest.
To be fair.
I don't think that's one for this week. But, I think there's... Clearly there's issues with attacking and being... I mean, I don't know how they track the stats, but if you... I don't know whether they have a stat that tracks how many of your end zone sets you convert into points. I would imagine Widnes's is pretty poor, especially in the last few weeks, the amount of sets they've had within 20, 30 metres of the opposition line where they've not scored. I would imagine that it's pretty poor at the moment. And they've got to try and find a way of, yeah, okay, if you're not playing nice rugby, you can at least find a way of crashing over. I in part think that's maybe down to the lack of consistency in the centres and the fullback coming round, maybe. But I actually liked, there was a play that Owens did playing centre where he got quite close to the line, where because most of the play they sent in the first half came over to the left side, which is obviously the near side from where I was. And I think they only went right once, and Owens put a little step on, got on the outside of his centre and nearly scored. And I think close to the line, that's going to be a decent option. Looking at the games then, we'll do our usual here. So, Widnes at the moment are sixth in the table. A point ahead of York. So if York beat them, they'll definitely go beneath York in the table. It's a bit skewed because a few teams have played more than others, Widnes being one of the teams who've played six, and I think half the league have played seven. But it's so tight that,
yeah,
you know, you only need to win a couple of games and all of a sudden you'll be in a really good spot. Let's go through our predictions from last week. I'm looking at the women here, which is wrong. Well, we both got Batley Hunslet wrong because Hunslet pulled one out of the bag at Mount Pleasant and won 28-24, Mike.
Fair play to him. You know, I think Hunslet are the side where probably every week we're probably going to go against them. But, you know, it's happened. And if they're going to make a fight of it, you know, they've got to put points on the board. And they did. And I've seen a couple of tries as well. Lee Gaskell particularly was very impressive. And, you know, as much as I question the forward pack there, they've got a couple of good players there, you know, like Lee Gaskell, Billy Jowett in the, he's playing centre at the minute. You know, Massey Burrell have been a massive one of them anyway.
They lost the lad who looked good against Widnes, Booth, the centre. He's gone back. He's obviously been recalled and being sent to Featherstone.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a blow for them. So for them to sort of do it having lost him is, you know, fair play to them.
Absolutely.
Barrow London, we both went for that. Doncaster beat Sheffield 19-6. We both called that one. And then we also both called Bradford beating Halifax 12-8. We saw that coming. The ones we didn't see were, we've not predicted any draws, so that might have to start becoming a call. We might have to start chucking the odd draw in. I think Oldham have drawn two now, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they drew at Boundary Park with Batley, didn't they, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, so they've already drawn two, which is some going. I was thinking that because I tweeted after the game saying it was a rare draw, and Oldham fans are probably thinking it's not that rare because we've had two in seven games. And then we didn't think that Featherstone would beat York, so it was even Stephen last week, three apiece, so we're 28 all for the season.
Yeah.
This week's games. Friday night, there's a couple of Friday night games. Oldham Bradford is a humdinger.
Yes, I think league table suggests so. I'm going to go with that was a monumental win in a derby clash for Bradford. And like echoing what you said a little bit, I wasn't overly impressed with Oldham. I believe they have got, you know, the fair share of injuries as well. And I just think Bradford now could be just turning the corner and getting into a bit of a groove. You know, 12-8 by no means against Halifax is convincing, but Halifax have been, you know, they've been playing out the skin. We've waxed lyrical on air about them, and it was a massive win for them. So I'm going to say it's going to be a statement win by Bradford this week.
Yeah, I'm going Bradford. Another Friday night game is Sheffield Batley. Now, this is going to be hard to call because Sheffield are in a bit of a bad way. Quite a few of the fans are turning against Craig Lingard already. There's the inevitable murmurings about a Phoenix club situation where Craig Lingard's the Jerry St. Clair to Brian Potter, which everybody probably anticipated was going to happen, but it would appear that that is causing some issues. So Sheffield, and then, you know, and then obviously Batley lost last week against Hunslet. Where are you going?
I've got to back Sheffield. I've got to back Sheffield on the quality, mate.
I think I'll go Sheffield as well. Saturday. Now, Saturday is an interesting one. It's Featherstone against Toulouse. Now, if we were having this discussion a week ago, we probably would have both gone Toulouse by default. But Featherstone have put a bit of a cat amongst the pigeons by beating York. Does that mean that Paul Cook's starting to get things together how he wants them? What do you make of this one?
I believe Featherstone are getting some players back. I've seen a couple of highlights of the game. I particularly like what Ryan Hampshire's brought to the team. He scored a great try. at the weekend. I'm going to take a bit of a gamble, James. I'm going to go with the resurging Featherstone because they've got quality in that team and Toulouse are travelling and they've had a week off and they've already travelled over here and been beat by Doncaster. So I'm going to go for the resurging Featherstone.
Right, I'm going to go Toulouse. So we might not be level after this week. And then the Sunday games are Barrow against Doncaster. I will always back Barrow at home.
Well, what I will say is the championship potentially epitomised by Doncaster? So you've got a side who, you know, should have beat Widnes but didn't, beat Toulouse but then get beat 66-0 by Doncaster. I mean, is that kind of the championship in one? For me, I've got to go with Barrow because he was mightily impressive against Widnes and they had players missing themselves. And I just think on their pitch, you know, with Doncaster, tough, resilient and battle-hardened enough because you've got to go up there and roll your sleeves up, haven't you? I'm going with you, mate, Barrow.
It was interesting because I saw some outraged Sheffield fans basically saying, can't believe we lost to Doncaster. And people were having to point out, well, hang on, 2 weeks ago they beat Toulouse at home. So it's not, you know, Toulouse to Doncaster isn't actually a massive upset anymore. Halifax, London.
For me, Halifax, I think they'll bounce back. I think they had a... Like Jack Anson was missing because of the birth of his child, I think, against Bradford. So they had a bit of a makeshift half-back combination there and were still mightily competitive and could have took the game. So for me, I've not seen or heard anything from London to suggest they're going to go the Shay and put on a performance, really, that's capable of toppling Halifax.
And then... York Widnes, I'm going to say York. Partly because of my reverse psychology theory, but mainly because I can't see how Widnes can have turned it around from the game 3 weeks ago. I just can't see they've played what, two games since then. I just can't see how Widnes could have done enough in that period to turn things around enough that they're going to go to York this weekend and win.
Yeah, 39-6. I'm with you, James. York for me. Sad to say, but I've got to be honest with it. You know, it's my gut feeling. And the reason why you say it more than anything is, well, two reasons. A, 39-6. That's a huge deficit to turn around in the space of 2-3 weeks. And we received the same in the playoff game, which, you know, I thought, you know, there was mitigating circumstances around that. But we were stronger a couple of weeks ago and it didn't quite work out. But where I am concerned with it, where I just don't see us picking up the win, is I think we can dig in. You know, if we're in that mood to defend and dig in and make it difficult, we can do that. But I think against a quality side like York, you've got to take your chances. You've got to put the points on the board. And right now, I think Huntsler have only scored 2 points less than what we have. Yeah. So I think that says it all, really. So I just don't see us putting enough points on the board to punish York. So York for me.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, over the last, basically the last three games, Widnes have only scored 5 tries.
Well, there you go. It says it all, doesn't it? That really?
You know, the two against Oldham, two against Barrow, and then the one that they scored against York. So, you know, it's clear what the issue is. I think the frustration over that contributed to the heavy defeats against York and Barrow. I think it was good to see how Widnes rolled it open. Got over the fact that, yeah, they were struggling to score, but they were still able to keep Oldham out. I actually think, although the scorelines against York and Barrow were bad, I think they did run away, didn't they, in the last 5 or 10 minutes in both them games. They were probably both, you know, the Barrow one was probably a 24-12 sort of game that got away from Widnes in the end. And the York game, again, you could have made the argument for the, you know, maybe that was a 28-6 sort of game. I mean, it sounds stupid to say, but I think that it wasn't a case of necessarily them being that heavily one-sided, but Widnes sort of threw the towel in towards the end. It'd be interesting to see how it goes. And yeah, it's a long old season. Someone said to me in the fixtures, Widnes have got a run of, I think, 3 straight home games coming up.
Well, that's something we're not used to, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's not next month, because it's June, basically. In June, there's 3 Widnes are at home, 3 consecutive games. We actually have a spell in the fixture list. I'm just looking through now, where 5 out of 6 games are at home.
So that is crucial, James. Sorry to say, that's crucial. That's where you've got to put your gauntlet down and put your marker down and be dominant in them games. Because I know we had the 10-8 against Sheffield and a win's a win, but for large periods of that game, we was trapped in our own half. And let's say the Barrow game, to follow on from the Warrington game, was far from ideal, was it? So you know, you've got to be dominant in front of your own fans and put your marker down.
Yeah. I'm going to have to bow to your superior judgment over the next few weeks, Mike, because this game against York will be my last Widnes game until the London Broncos game, which is at the end of May. I'm on Magic Weekend duty on the 4th of May, which is when Widnes are at Hunslet. I'm on Challenge Cup semi-final duty on the 11th of May when Widnes are at home to Featherstone. And then I'm on my holidays when Widnes are away at Bradford. So I'm going to miss 3 games running. So I'm going to have to see if anyone knows where I can get the live doctor's feed of them matches. Drop me a message so I can keep up to speed. Before we go, bit of news. Well, a bit of housekeeping coming out of the club this week. The club shop is changing its opening hours from... They've been changed to 9:30 to 3 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday. Of course, the club shop is now at the ground. So if you want to buy bits and bobs, that's when it's open, 9:30 to 3, Wednesday to Saturday. And then the Vikings wheelchair team are taking on the Colostomy UK team in a friendly, which is a nice sort of awareness raising day. There's a guy behind Colostomy UK who was a big rugby league guy in London. He did some stuff with the community game in London, and they've got a team. They have a PDRL team, they've got a wheelchair team playing around. So they're going to do that at Ormiston Chadwick Academy on May the 11th. But I think I got this right before. I'm just double checking now. The wheelchair team are also playing in York this week.
Yeah, I did see that. Sunday. I realized it didn't. It was like a double header.
Yeah, it's tagged as a double header. I presume they're not playing on the grass, Mike. but yeah, so if you're in York for a weekend, that's kicking off at 12. If you want to have a check out the wheelchair team. And then a final one is Widnes Vips are holding a quiz night that is being hosted by Alan Coleman.
Oh, it certainly adds a bit of difference to the last one. I think you become a bit of a celebrity, didn't you, on Lucas on Yango's table, it was fair to say.
So there's a quiz night. It's on May the 7th, 7 p.m. at the stadium. It's £5 a ticket. You can get a ticket by emailing admin@widnesvips.co.uk, or you can buy them from the stadium shop. That night you mentioned there, Mike, I've got an interesting story about that night. It's probably not that actually interesting to anybody else.
You're
going to
say it anyway.
I'm not going to go into it now, but it involved Danny Walker. Because he was up on the stage and he was good. He was a good it was good to have him involved. But yeah, them Widnes Phipps nights, it'd be good to get more bodies to them. It's a good opportunity, especially with Alan taking out his time to do it as well. I'm surprised I haven't had the call to captain one of the teams, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. How was your performance last time anyway?
I do remember Danny Walker calling me out on one of the questions, because he asked the question and I was sat there with a bit of a puzzled look on my face, and he sort of said, come on, you should know this. I think I did get it right in the end.
It was a good laugh though, wasn't it, honestly?
Yeah, maybe I just can't cope with the pressure. Maybe that's the reality of the situation. But yeah, no, it was good. It was good. And I think with all the stuff that's going on in rugby league at the moment, I think whatever people say about what club should be in Super League and what club should be this and what club should be that, I think the bottom line is that the strongest part of rugby league is the communities that it's in. And if clubs start to lose that, then they've not got much left, if that makes sense. So, you know, nights like this, if you get into a stage where there's barely anybody at them, you've got a massive problem. So hopefully people will turn out for it. And what day is the fit? Is that a Tuesday night? What is it? Is it Wednesday night, Tuesday night? Let me just double check. Wednesday night it is. It's a Wednesday night. Free and easy night. We might see you there. But yeah, you can get your tickets at the stadium shop or email admin@widnesvips.co.uk. Mike, thanks as always for your company. Are you heading to York early, or are you going straight to the match?
I think the coach pick-up time's 11 o'clock, so it'll obviously depend when the coach arrives, really. So, right, yeah, it'll probably be a mirror image of a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully not on the field, though.
Well, that's the hope. And there's always the York Dungeon to trap people in if things go terribly wrong. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you again next week.